live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com and BTRFF.com. It's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Welcome into the Asylum. We're Fleeger and Briggs. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
All you tweeters out there, at AsylumFootball on Twitter.
And we're steadily climbing up. And, of course, you locals, 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock, WSRU.
There we go. All right, Rick, we are back, fresh off Memorial Day, what I have to presume was a three-day bender for you.
I don't know how fresh I am, but I'm right here, buddy, raring to go.
If we do it all for you, you're welcome. If you see the mess that sits before me that is Rick Briggs after this weekend, you would truly appreciate it.
And one thing that the listeners, and of course one listener in particular, is going to be pleased about.
Oh, okay.
Finally got you on your feet.
True.
I'm sure Jay Smooth has written us off as Welchers.
Yeah, but that's true. It is almost June.
Yes, we are going to get our picture taken in the Tebow jerseys that we lost a bet to them last year and finally got you on your gimpy legs, at least vertical. So we are going to
vertical-ish.
Get our pictures taken and posted tonight.
All right, we'll do that gladly. I guess, was there anything in the bet about showing our faces, Rick? Maybe that's the point, because nobody wants to see that.
Well, we do have faces for radio, but
that's so true.
Know.
So true.
Maybe profiles. That would be quite humorous.
Which side's my good side? Come on now, I gotta have a good side.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay, fair enough. All right, Rick. Well, I suppose maybe we talk a little bit of fantasy football anyhow. Let's hit some of the fantasy. Oh, Rick, I know we had an update on the announcement you made last week, the Facebook page we were sending some folks to. I saw you were talking to Jim earlier on Twitter.
Yes, indeed. If you recall, the at Fantasy Taz, our buddy Jim Day, had started some leagues where the proceeds of the leagues were going to for the purchase of a, what was it, a dad. It was a...
it was a dad.
Diabetes,
that was the acronym.
Yeah, it was a diabetes alert dog.
Alert dog, yes. That's it. Very good.
And he actually tweeted today that they have already passed the goal to achieve that, and everybody just should be commended for rallying around to help that cute little girl. Tell you what, what a doll.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So glad to hear that happen. That's fantastic news. Thank you to anyone from our listeners who helped out with that cause. It's certainly a great one, and we definitely appreciate it from our end. So, Rick, let's get into some headlines. Of course, the biggest news of the week always happens about 15 minutes after we go off the air, and I think the biggest news in terms of football and fantasy football, really, a guy I really like, Michael Crabtree, blows out his Achilles in OTA. He's looking to be out probably to at least November.
Yeah, we talked about him briefly, February, March, whatever, and a lot of love for him. They were really making some good connections and a lot of chemistry in San Francisco. But, there's some ramifications there. Number one, there's a potent wide receiver gone, and now, the sexy pick of Colin Kaepernick doesn't look quite as sexy now.
Yeah, I wonder about that. They bring in Anquan Boldin. They still have Manningham. I think certainly Crabtree was the best of the bunch. I'm curious, Boldin had a nice little year last year. He was a guy I kept on the end of several benches. You could plug and play sometimes. You could really get rewarded other times. Had a great, great playoff run. Do him or Manningham have it in them to be the number one guy is what I'm curious about when you're talking about those two specifically and Kaepernick on top of it. I'm not sure. Boldin didn't have a lot surrounding him when you're talking about Torrey Smith, but I'm not sure I fear Boldin and Manningham as much as I fear Crabtree paired up with one of those guys.
Yeah, listen to other people talking about this subject, and unfortunately, Boldin is probably going to be the guy. He's an established veteran. Certainly not what he used to be, but Manningham himself coming off a bad injury, and the other guy, Jenkins? He was abysmal last year.
Yeah, definitely.
And you have Davis. So, I mean, it really points to Bolden
as
being the guy.
It's true, and I wonder if it doesn't help Davis. I actually worried about Bolden going there, sort of a similar possession guy is what you would use out of your tight end. I wonder if Vernon Davis, we've seen it 2 years in a row, slow year, doesn't really do anything throughout the season and late in the season. And in the playoffs, you see a lot more out of him. I wonder if he doesn't benefit from this. I'm not sure his value moves. I think he's right there on that second tier of tight ends. And still, in my mind, the one guy who could really break out at any given time. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not all that crazy about that combination right now. I'm not sure Bolden. Of course, in PPR formats, Bolden certainly could be very valuable in this situation.
As a possession guy, no doubt about it. So, have to wait and see. Obviously, no value for Crabtree. I think even coming back in November, you're so late in your season and. Pretty delicate injury when you start talking about the Achilles. So moving on, Rick, do we care yet? Arian Foster has left OTAs with a calf strain. Anything you're thinking about just yet?
Well, you always have to monitor Arian Foster when it comes to training camp, that's for sure. I think they'll certainly take it easy with him, and he'll probably be fine. Unless it's torn.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything to worry about. But let's get on to a much more important story. Jimmy Haslin puts Jim Brown back in the front office of the Cleveland Browns.
I deliberately didn't write this story down because your man crush.
3-year hiatus, away from the front office during the Holmgren regime. There's old Jimbo right back. Don't know what the title is, but he's there.
It doesn't matter. He's just there, and now Rick Briggs, noted Cleveland Browns fan, is in the house.
No, not a Cleveland Browns fan at all. But I just thought it was a worthy story.
All right, a worthy story. So, Rick, let's move on to what I'm sure for the remainder of the offseason is going to be a weekly segment on this show. It's going to be the NFL police blotter here live at Asylum Fantasy Football. I do love that theme song.
And it is a loaded blotter.
All right, but this week, it's loaded. I only have one. You have more. I think the biggest headline, Rick, a guy we spent a lot of time talking about last week, maybe not a coincidence perhaps, Maurice Jones-Drew, involved in a bar fight, apparently clocked a security guard in the face. His agent, of course, saying he's innocent. You don't know about that. I don't think he's been formally charged at this point, but Maurice Jones-Drew, welcome. He's the inaugural member of our Asylum Police Blotter.
Well, according to TMZ.
TMZ,
TMZ reporting that the Jaguars running back has been accused of punching a security guard in the face with a closed fist at the Conch House, a restaurant in St. Augustine, Florida. The guard was allegedly knocked out as a result. The reported incident happened on Sunday during Reggae Sunday.
You don't want to get squirrely on Reggae Sunday.
At the restaurant, security told one of Jones-Drew's friends to stop touching a female patron.
Well, that just seems unreasonable to me.
When the friend touched a woman on the chest, a brawl followed. When the friend was put in a headlock by one of the security guards, Jones-Drew allegedly whacked him in the face. According to police, the punch was intentional, and Jones-Drew has been charged with battery.
Oh, so there's been an update to the story since I wrote it down. Fantastic news, Maurice Jones-Drew. But it sure happens a lot, Rick, with these guys. It really does. So, and it's hard to be the guy defending the guy who was getting all grabby. You wonder,
that's true.
Turn it down. What are you talking about?
We've got so many to go through.
Oh, well, the song's 3 minutes long, so please go ahead.
Oh, my God. I can't listen to that much longer.
Just do it.
I'm going to be sitting. No, I won't.
So you're going to sit there in silence till I fade it out.
Well, sure. Well, Judge Wapner retired.
Okay.
We have to have Judge Judy now.
It's not Judge Judy. It's some other chick. She's a lot hotter than Judge Judy.
Oh, really? She's Judge Judy, not the People's Court.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, redhead girls. Not bad looking, really. Got kind of an attitude problem, though.
Well, they all do.
As a judge is probably want to do.
They all do.
I don't know if she's actually good looking or she's just good looking for a judge. I'm not sure. But I can't lie. I kind of dig her.
Well, that's awful nice to know. But according to the USA Today.
Okay.
Reporting.
Periodical of note.
Troubled NFL player Titus Young.
Oh, yeah.
Awaiting trial on 11 charges, including 4 felony counts of attempted burglary, refused to speak and ignored the judge at his Friday hearing.
I wonder if it was that hot one on the People's Court.
Young, wearing an orange jumpsuit, standing inside a protective cage with his eyes closed much of the time, didn't respond when Judge Andre Manasurian,
yeah, that's not her,
said, "Good morning, sir. Can you hear me? And are you Titus Demetrius Young?" He refused to answer. The Young's lawyer said his client was exercising his right to remain silent by not saying if he was in or not.
How better to exercise that right than by, in fact, remaining silent?
He also ignored his father, who has said his son suffers from mental disorder, and called out to him in the Orange County Superior Court. The judge doubled his bail to $50,000, claiming Mr. Young poses a danger to the community. Even his attorney, when asked if the 23-year-old's family thinks he should remain behind bars until his next hearing, replied, I love the reply, uh-huh.
I mean, 6 years in law school and $200,000 per uh-huh.
Uh-huh. according to Riverside County Court documents, the mother of... Okay, well, let's revert back a little bit. You know, Young faces charges of burglary, assaulting a police officer, and resisting arrest. And prosecutors at Riverside County are weighing whether to charge him in the other two arrests. The mother of his 8-month-old son, Marjani Maldonado, filed for a permanent restraining order against him on Thursday, citing a threat of domestic violence. In the filing, Maldonado claims that Young threatened and harassed her at her Moreno Valley home. He would say things like, "I understand why OJ killed his wife." I mean, this guy is an endless blotter. It's just great.
No
stuff
question
there.
About it. I think the OJ thing may still be too fresh to start making that kind of joke, is it? I don't think it was a joke.
No, it's not. But
it's a little pretentious to link himself with OJ Simpson. OJ Simpson was a much different level of NFL criminal.
Certainly. And I guess, you know, we can move right on the blotter. Apparently,
another one.
Oh, my, yes.
And you made me turn the music off.
The NFLPA, you know, the Players Association.
Yes.
Apparently, they are going after Jay-Z.
Oh, you don't want to mess with Jay-Z.
You know, Rock Nation. And
what's Rock Nation?
Apparently committed by Jay-Z, Rock Nation. I don't know. I thought you were into that. You knew what that was.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with his artistry. Maybe that's his...
No, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe that's his agency, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. We'll have to look into that. I'm assuming that's what it may be. But they intend to proceed aggressively against any potential violations of the so-called runner rule committed by Jay-Z, Rock Nation, and or... NFLPA certified agent Kim Mialy. I apologize if I pronounce it incorrectly. The situation is being taken really seriously, one source said. Another source explained that the union has no choice but to act in response to flagrant flaunting of the rules behind a clumsily veiled curtain that includes people like Geno Smith advisor John Thornton, giving an on-the-record quote and then insisting he was misquoted. And Smith...
Always a good move, by the way.
And Smith posing on social media a photo of himself with Jay-Z. Now, apparently this runner rule, the applicable rule is simple, so they say. Only one NFLPA certified agent may be involved in recruiting players to sign with an NFLPA certified agent. Okay, I guess.
Oh, okay, so that you can't send a whole team of people.
Right.
Tell me anybody's following that rule.
In this specific case, Smith chose a previously unknown agent, Mialy, over a group of experienced agents. Mialy happens to be employed by Jay-Z's firm.
Who wouldn't want Jay-Z representing?
And the circumstances suggest that Jay-Z, I'm sure, was involved in some way in persuading Smith to hire Mialy. And the biggest thing is, you know, after reading all this without going through all this, that, and the other, it really looks like Mialy is the guy that's going to get take the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have no jurisdiction over Jay-Z, whatever. It's only a certified agent. Then they can take away his license to be an agent, so they can't do anything to Jay-Z. So.
And if you're Jay-Z, you have fall guys. That's what you have guys like this, whatever you said his name was. And the NFLPA is going to be sorry. You don't go messing with Jay-Z. I don't know if you've heard of the Illuminati, Rick, but apparently I don't necessarily believe this, but I have people telling me it's part of an underground faction of billionaires, rapper types, I guess, something about devil worship, and they'll take your ass out is basically what it comes down to. So the NFLPA might want to back off a little.
Oh, there you go.
So that's well, I'm telling you, there's signs or something. I don't know. I don't buy it. I'd like to be a part of it if I could. I have to work on my rapping skills. So keeping in the entertainment industry, Rick, a big time football story, but I certainly enjoy this one. Do you know who Justin Bieber is at your advanced age? I bet your hair looked like his does now about 30 years
ago. Have you ever heard of Keyshawn Johnson?
I have. So you had the same story there.
There you go.
Justin Bieber speeding. Apparently lives in the same neighborhood as Keyshawn Johnson and Eric Dickerson, in fact.
Yeah, I love
Eric
Dickerson.
There was some tweets from Eric Dickerson. And apparently Justin Bieber drives through their gated community at breakneck speeds. And old Keyshawn, as he's wont to do, not really known for his patience, actually chased the Biebs home. I think they call him the Biebs. I think that's what the kids do these days.
And
he chased him home and pounded on his door. And, of course, the little weasel hid from him. I don't think there was ever a confrontation. And then Eric Dickerson tweeted out about it. So a lot of drama, Justin Bieber drama, with former NFL stars.
Well, not only did he speed through the neighborhood, he was speeding through the neighborhood in a Ferrari.
Well, why? What else would you speed through the neighborhood in?
Pause and listen.
Oh, sorry.
Keyshawn had a child. Yeah, I assume it was his child. It just says in the story here he took the child in his car home,
or some random child, which could be on next week's police blotter. I don't know, but let's not jump to conclusions.
But anyway, he took the child home and then chased Bieber down in his Prius.
So you let a guy in a Prius. I don't like to think of Keyshawn Johnson driving a Prius, either way. I always,
let alone giving a Ferrari a head start.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a good head start.
So anyway, yeah, he chased him down, and apparently Eric Dickerson's quote was, I forget what it was. It was like I live in this, whatever the gated community was, and oh, there it is. I live in Calabasas, too. That's what it was. I couldn't remember. And Justice Bieber needs to slow his ass down.
Slow your ass down. So, Biebs, listen up. You've got two. One certain, I'm sure Dickerson's already in the Hall of Fame, obviously. You got one Hall of Famer and one Hall of pretty good NFL player wanting to kill you. You might want to slow your Ferrari down, no question about that. So, Rick, the last story I have, we spent several weeks ago, spent some time talking about, I can't even think of his name, that's how much of a non-story it was to me, that NBA player who's apparently going to be the first openly gay player in the major sports. Well, Adrian Peterson this week, the reason I tell the story is, why do these guys answer these questions? Adrian Peterson was asked on his thoughts on gay marriage earlier this week and responded, I have relatives who are gay, which is always the first sign you're about to say something bigoted. If you say, I have friends or family who are, insert minority group next, you're about to say something bigoted. I'm not biased towards them, which means, I'm biased towards them. I still treat them the same. Is the word them a little jarring to you, first of all? So that's fine. I love them. That's good.
That's nice.
But again, I'm not with that. Okay, you do what you do. That's not something I believe in, but to each his own. So my only question, Rick, why would you ever weigh in on this? Why would you touch this? A couple dummies like us coming on the air and making fart and gay jokes nobody cares about. You're Adrian freaking Peterson. You're probably making seven times an endorsement. I don't think he said anything here that would necessarily drive a Nike or somebody like that away. But why do you go down this road?
Why are you asking me? How do I know? I mean, it's why do people ask these questions?
Well, to get this reaction.
Exactly.
And you can make a big stink about it and get it posted on your blog. It never ceases to amaze me, these guys who go down this road. And again, when it comes to all major socio-political issues, Rick, my stance is I am so self-involved, I don't care about any of it. I don't care what anybody does. My goal in life, Reed, do you know what my one goal in life is? Just one. It's not to end up on ESPN or be rich and famous.
Tell me.
It's probably a similar goal to yours. I just want to be left the hell alone. That's my only goal in life. I don't care what anybody else does. Adrian Peterson, if this is how you feel, fine. Shut up. Just say, nah, no comment. Don't want to talk about it. There could be some blowback.
I disagree.
Here we go.
No, I mean, why shut up? I mean, it's Adrian Peterson. You asked what he thought. He gave you his opinion. Now, what you do with
that... But these days, you're not allowed to have your opinion.
Well, then don't ask a question.
But you can't blame the guy asking the question. The guy asking the question got exactly what he wanted.
Okay, I got you. You can't... The innocent reporter laid an innocent question out there, and he gave a horrific answer.
No, the answer's fine, but you stepped right in a bear trap. This jackass reporter's trying to make a name for himself, asked his question. Why? Let's put it this way, in terms you can understand, a simpleton like Rick Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just say for round numbers, I give, what do we have here? I got my cigar, the Swisher Sweet. I'll give you a $10 million endorsement to represent me.
All right.
Basically, all I need you to do, since you're so pretty, is put your face out there and tell everybody how good it is. And keep your mouth shut.
Right.
But so then, big bad reporter comes to you, ask you a question like this. Is it worth $10 million to say, and I quote, I'm not with that? It's not worth it.
If somebody gave me $10 million, they wouldn't be able to find me again.
Well, I think you're going to be expected to do something.
I'd have my pretty face on the ad,
yes,
like you said.
Certainly.
And I'd have it in my fingers there. Smoke Swisher Sweets.
Oh, I like that. Was good, dude.
Call us
Swisher Sweets.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then they could, you know, give me the $10 million.
But they're going to find you eventually. You're out representing the product. If you're Adrian Peterson, you're out representing. I don't know. Is he a Nike guy? You're out representing. He's got to have a billion endorsements. He's out representing them. Just keep your mouth shut. Why give it up? Why do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. He's in a different plane than we
That's
are.
That's true, and we can't
fathom
where he's at.
Right, and I mean, I just don't know. I mean, maybe it just doesn't matter to him.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I mean, I'm being perfectly honest when, you know, yeah, if it was me, yeah, I'd keep my mouth shut.
That's what
exactly.
I'm saying.
However,
shut up.
In that certain plane of existence where, you know, you are already established, I mean, let's face it, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
you know, and so forth and so on, and maybe it just doesn't matter to him. I mean, he didn't say anything wrong.
No, that's the problem, but you know damn well this is going to be blown up into some huge ordeal.
I think it'll be forgotten. I really do.
Eventually, it'll get some run. Some group that likes to write letters and make a big fuss and do the Facebook thing will make a big deal out of it. His agent will have to come out and address it. And I apologize to anyone I offended, which means I don't really apologize. But if you're stupid enough to be offended, I guess I'm sorry. That's what that means, if you didn't know that. So I don't know. Just never ceases to amaze me that these guys are willing to speak out on this stuff. Yeah, that punter got himself cut for making the same arguments on the other side.
You're exactly right. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Well, that's all I have for headlines. Rick, what do you got?
Just on a little happier note there, a little tweet I saw floating around on Twitter earlier today that Jennings, Forte, and Knox were over in the doing part of the USO tour in Europe over the weekend, which, you know, appreciating the men and women of the armed services
and so forth.
And, you know, that was just a nice thing to say.
Coming out of the police blotter, I guess it's good to recognize all the good these guys do with their fame and with their fortune as well. So, Rick, big news, for the first time in 2013, or at least since probably the January time frame, being that we are completely devoid of anything else to talk about, Rick, we're bringing back a fan favorite here on the show. Time for facts
or fiction.
Nice. See, you picked up on that. Good job. So, Rick, what we're going to do with this, this is my favorite time of year. It's early summer, May, June, July. We can make all the stupid predictions we want, and by the time we have to pay the piper, no one's going to remember what we said anyhow.
But I'm right.
It's simply not true.
I'm right.
I'm right. Well, it depends if we agree or not.
I'll start doing the percentage again this year.
Well, did you keep track last year?
Torched you.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not.
You're making it. So everything we disagreed on, you tracked. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Exactly.
I have not seen this spreadsheet. I'd assume a county nerd like you had it keeps these things in spreadsheets.
Well, of course. Yeah, they automatically update.
So it does it on its own. So
who is in charge of the Fleeger and Briggs, the Silent Fantasy Football Hall of Fame balloting, tallying numbers?
So that was you.
Did you doubt them?
Oh, certainly not. Maybe I should now. Is that what you're telling me? Is our Hall of Fame a sham? The one and only Fantasy Football Hall of Fame on the web.
It is true blue to its name.
And Rick Briggs has declared it a sham.
True blue the whole way through.
True? I like that.
That's nice. What's true blue mean?
I guess purest blue is just wonderful.
We're going to have to look into that. But all right, Rick, let's get into the show. I'm going to start off. Let me make sure we have so it's...
That's fiction or fact.
Yeah, we go. All right, you're right. So, fact or fiction, Rick? I'll start this show. Fact or fiction?
Oh, that sounds like Charlie Daniels' song.
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah. You former roadie of Charlie Daniels, I remember.
Well,
I inquired about it. A friend of yours on Twitter, I believe you guys have chatted a few times, which I always find amazing. But anyhow, fact or fiction, Rick, staying on point, ever forward here. Arian Foster finishes 2013 as a top five fantasy running back.
PPR?
Sure, whatever.
I think he scores a lot of touchdowns, catches a lot of passes, and the guy, he's a yardage machine.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I don't know why, Rick, and I think we talked about this last week. Gut feeling for me, I got a bad feeling about him this year. If I'm sitting in one of those top three spots, I'm not sure I go for him. I'm sitting five and Arian Foster's still there. I'm certainly not going to sit here and make the argument I'm not going to take him.
Okay.
All right.
Obviously, Peterson Charles.
Obviously, yeah.
Okay. Foster McCoy.
Foster.
Foster Johnson.
Oh, Foster.
Foster Martin.
See, that's where it is for me, right there at that 3-4 spot. My gut tells me I loved everything I saw about Doug Martin. I'd be a little nervous. I got the proven commodity in Arian Foster. I got Doug Martin. I worry about the sophomore slump. But I'm going to tell you, sitting here right now, I think I'd take Doug Martin.
Okay.
Pushes him to four, which is about where I'm thinking he is.
Okay.
Then who moves up above there? Now we're talking maybe, I have him above McCoy, Trent Richardson. It gets a little hairy after that. So I think top five, I made it too easy for you. I probably should have made it top three.
Yeah,
if it was top three, I'd have given you a big.
Okay.
Because I think there perhaps could be a rookie. There's going to be somebody's going to emerge. Somebody. And I think Foster, you know what he's going to get. If does Foster, does Adrian Peterson take a dip? Probably certainly does from the numbers he put up last year.
But
from where he ranks, I still believe in him.
That's why I still have Charles number one in my book.
I'll tell you what, I'm still shoved in on Jamal Charles, but boy, we're putting a lot on him. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Well, speaking of the Chiefs here, we'll just that was going to be my second question, but we're on the Chiefs here. Dwayne Bowe, now this is pretty forgiving.
Okay.
But Dwayne Bowe is a top 15 wide receiver.
Oh, top 15.
And, of course, it's always fantasy.
If I say no, are you going to make me name the 15 above him?
No.
All right, then.
Okay, well, who'd you put above him?
Jerk. But I just don't know, Rick. He's a guy I don't trust. We talked about it before. I believe we did a disappointment show coming out of the season ending, and to me he was the biggest one. Look, their quarterback situation's gotten better. I think their coaching situation's gotten better. This guy just has a knack for playing small on big occasions. You know what I mean? And that's where I worry about. I think he's down there with Steve Johnson, down with players of that ilk. I think there's so many talented receivers out there. Well, the final stats bear out that he is, in fact, top 15, maybe. But I'll tell you what, Rick, he's on my squad. He's a number three wide receiver at best. I just based skill-wise, he's a low-end number one. final product, what you have. I don't know what I'm going to get out of that Chiefs team yet. I don't trust him, and I'm not going to have him in my top 15. Not too far outside of it now.
Yeah, I'm real close. I'm a little bit on the other side of the fence. I really like Dwayne Bowe going into this year. I like the Chiefs a lot better. I like Alex Smith, but you know, under center. I like that Dwayne Bowe's in a good mood and is really looking forward to the year.
How long does that good mood last, though? That's the question.
Well, you know, after coming through, 2-14 last year, you know, I think it lasts. And I think they have a potential to really make some noise in that division. I mean, if it wasn't for Denver, you know, you go back 2 years ago looking at this Kansas City team, I think they got the division.
But, no question about it.
Yeah, I think they could certainly cause a few problems. So I like him. I think he's going to be real close. And I think he's worthy of a low-end RB or WR2 this year, to be honest with you.
Maybe, but all right, you're talking WR2, standard 12-team league. That's 24. Yeah, that's not top 15.
Yeah, but WR2 can certainly
WR2.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying right now, looking into it, I said I'm, you know, close, a little higher on him than you are.
Yeah,
but,
well,
you know, I think he easily could make, you know, top 15.
The guy can finish top 10. Remember what he did his rookie
like
year.
You say, there's a lot of talent out there.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Rick, we actually have a caller on the line, so let's check it out. The number's coming up all one, so I usually like to introduce it by the area code. Caller, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
How's it going?
Good. So I actually have a sleeper who I think is going to be really good next year, and I want to give you a reason why as well.
Sure.
I think Tavon Austin, the rookie from West Virginia, I think he's going to put up some good offensive numbers. And the reason why is I heard during his workouts, he's been shitting standing up. So, like, when he's been taking a shit in the shower, Sam Bradford did slip once, and I think he hurt himself. But other than that, he's just, I think that.
You really made me hang up on him, Rick. That was funny. Come on.
Yeah, that was humorous.
So you have no sense of humor.
Well, the thing is, you know.
Yeah, I do have to edit this now, so this guy's kind of a jerk for that.
Actually, he was standing on his hand. So, I mean, you know, he was totally wrong in the whole, you know, the whole scheme of it anyway. So, I mean, I read that. I mean, he was on his hands, not on his feet. So, there you have it. You know, get your facts straight, pal.
Wait. You had me half believing that for a second, like this was a story. Oh,
I can't recover. Don't walk.
All right, fact or fiction?
So hold on, is that something you worry about, somebody being able to do that standing up? Is that an impressive feat? I guess I've never tried it when you think about it. But don't ignore me here. I think this is a good conversation. The caller has brought up a good issue, and we thank you for the call, sir. And feel free to call in again anytime.
Please do.
Is this something
with more fantastic analysis? I really enjoyed
But is this something people strive to do? Is it difficult? I guess I've never tried.
Probably not.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah.
So all my neighbors, if any of you listen, don't be peering out your window about 11 o'clock
tonight.
Which
means we'll be going down to your house for the next 2 months because you'll fall over, hit your knee on something, and it'll be dislocated.
Yeah, you think it would make you fall? I don't know. I'm curious about it. I'm going to look into this. I'm going to Google this after the show. So thank you, caller. You've prepared us for the next show and be ready for next week. So who's up, Rick? How do we recover from that?
I don't know. Let's get some Pepto-Bismol, and we'll just go fact or fiction.
All right.
Michael Turner lands a starting job in 13.
All right. I'm gonna go fiction, but I'm going to qualify it. I think he's brought in as a complimentary back to somebody. I think if somebody really needed a back, now – okay, second qualifier. This is a really good answer here. I got 15 qualifiers on it. Looking like he's not going to get signed till camp. If he was going to be signed, he'd be signed by now, except for the fact that now it hasn't happened. So if somebody major goes down in camp and there's a team really needing a running back, then, yeah, he'll come in as a starter. Should there not be a major running back injury in camp, which we always hope for, he's going to be brought in as a complimentary back. However, I do see him, dependent upon the situation, he's definitely going to be in a committee. But if he doesn't end up in somewhere like Houston, Minnesota, Kansas City, I think he's going to play a fairly big role, and I think he's going to be a deep bench kind of guy in an RBBC. I think he's a guy you're going to want to own, but going in as a starter, signing as a starter, I'm not necessarily sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, he can certainly be a real value pick, and you know, certainly worth holding on to, like in a keeper league, something like that. And
if you can keep many, many players.
Well, that's true. I mean, if maybe dynasty, whatever. Yeah. I don't know, you know, but yeah, I mean, he certainly could be a great value this coming year. And yeah, I'd certainly keep an eye on where he goes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, and I think a lot left in the tank. We basically put him out to pasture last year. Certainly didn't put up the numbers he had in previous years. However, you know, I think he certainly had some value, and in spots was a really good fantasy play. So, Rick, as you feverishly in the chat room, I'm guessing still from the fallout of that caller, what's the chat room's temperature on that whole situation? Not necessarily the caller. I'm all for the caller. However, what do they think about the standing up? Any opinions offered?
No, they're actually wanting to talk about football.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, isn't that
it is an interesting show to choose for that. Anyhow, Rick, fact or fiction, Alfred Morris finishes the season as the Redskins' starting running back.
Yeah, I'm not buying into the, you know, Shanahan's going to bench him because he fumbles or whatever.
Shanahanigan, as
I
they
look
call
at,
it.
You know, Clinton Portis and, you know, Terrell Davis and so forth. You know, he had a guy. He may run him to death, but he's going to run him. And I think he's definitely the guy.
I tend to agree with you, Rick, based on what I saw last year. Here's the problem, and I can't even remember who was it? Royster. Royster was the guy we were drafting as their starting running back last year. And who was the other one? There was two. Help me. Terrain. There was actually three.
Yeah. There was Hightower.
Hightower is the one I was thinking of. And all of a sudden, I remember it, Rick, we were sitting at the Fantasy Football Fest out in New Jersey, and there was a lot of buzz of this kid. There was a preseason game the Friday night we were out there, a buzz of this kid, Alfred Morris, coming up, this undrafted guy, and bang, all of a sudden, week one, he's a starter and goes on to have a fantastic rookie year and be a top 10, top 12 fantasy back, maybe higher. I don't have it in front of me.
The third best rushing campaign by a rookie.
Yeah, certainly. So that's where my fear comes in. Is that guy on the Redskins roster right now that's going to do the same thing? And that's the guy Shanahan likes. If you put a gun to my head, say you gotta pick one this year, do you think he's going to do it? Probably, yeah. But here's why this guy, with the way running backs are being drafted, there's a reason this guy's going 12, 13. He's more talented than that. And I don't know if I'm sitting at that 12, 13 turn if I take him, based on that, because I just don't know. There could be that next Alfred Morris in that Skins camp, and you know Shanahan's not afraid to go with that guy.
Yeah, you're right there. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. It's like a fog the last few years with Shanahan, with all the, you know, Shanahanigans, and then, you know, the past history of running them like a mule, you know, the same guy. So, you know, I don't know what he's going to do, but it's my gut feeling that, you know, Alfred is the guy.
All right. Well, there we have it.
All right. So I think you are up, mister.
Well, no, but I'll go ahead and go anyhow.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's me. I'm sorry. All right. Mike Wallace is worthy of a third-round pick.
Third-round pick. I got to think a little bit. You know, I'm going to say no, it doesn't matter. Mike Wallace is a guy I'm not ranking very high. I don't like that offense, that Dolphins offense. Not buying into Tannehill as much as a lot of guys are this year. I just think he was one-trick pony. You saw it last year. I know we were coming off the holdout and everything. You saw it last year. Really, his biggest numbers came in that rookie campaign where nobody was ready for it. That's all he does. If you ever see him go across the middle, we watched 16 games of his a year for 2 years. It's not who he is, simply a downfield guy, especially name another wide receiver in Miami.
Is Beth still there?
Exactly.
Brian Hartline?
There's my point. You're struggling here. We don't know. So he's the only guy.
I know Hartline's there.
Yeah. Why aren't you going to bracket him, take him away? I think Mike Wallace really struggles. I'm glad he got paid, but I think he struggles. third round certainly too high, and I'm pretty comfortable I'm not going to own Mike Wallace pretty much in any situation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I didn't think Bess was there. He went to Cleveland. I saw it in the chat room. Thank you very much. But, yeah, I mean, they're Bess was probably the best receiver they had.
And Hartline for a game or two.
Well, Hartline had 240,600 yards in one game.
Yeah,
and
pretty much averaged 43 catches right. for 48 yards and nothing the rest of the time.
Yeah, and we talked about him before. He's going to be probably a 700-800-yard guy.
Yeah, that's who he is.
And
it's
you got
a
Wallace.
Nice player, and you sure. got Wallace as your number one. But if I'm an opposing defense, all right, I'm going to go ahead and take Mike Wallace away, let everybody else beat me. That's what I'm going to go with. So, and I think he's going to struggle there. Probably a real valuable piece to that Miami team. However, I think you're going to see him struggle in terms of offensive production, which is what we're looking for. They're just not a passing team to begin with.
I don't mind Tannehill. I think he's going to be a pretty fair quarterback.
Damning him with faint praise,
and,
you don't mind him.
I'm somehow, for all the bashing you're giving him, I'm just not hopping on board of the Tannehill bashing. I think he did pretty fair with what they had last year. They've certainly upgraded.
And they've gotten better.
Yeah, I think Miami's going to be a fairly decent team this year.
But I think...
Lamar Miller comes along and the running game establishes itself. I know you're not on board there either. I mean, I know there's a lot of ifs and ands going into this. Things start falling into place. Miami could start, racking up the yards and points.
Yeah, no question about it. So, I just wonder, let's move on for that. I don't want to beat the Miami offense to death. Fact or fiction, Rick? Now, here's an interesting one. You brought up Jim earlier, so one near and dear to his heart. I'm going to ask this, so don't answer too quickly. Let me finish the question. Rob Gronkowski finishes 2013 as the Patriots' number one tight end.
Rob Gronkowski ends the year as the Patriots.
Statistically
ends. Oh, boy. Oh, man, that's a tough
one. See, it wasn't so easy. You looked at me like I was an idiot when I asked you the question.
Well, you just are an idiot. I have to look at you that way. I'm still going to say yeah. He catches an awful lot of touchdowns, as everybody knows. And I think one of the biggest keys is just Hernandez's propensity to injury as well. The guy doesn't seem to be able to stay on the field 16 games. And if Gronk can get this surgery healed up and can get in there by week 2-3, something like that, I think he's fine.
Therein lies the rub. Can he? I don't know. I seriously don't know. I worry about it.
Okay, if he heals like Peterson, no problem. Okay. If he heals like you, we won't see him until 2015.
Well, that's fair, but I think we've already seen he might lean a little more towards me.
Got to quit rubbing dirt in it and get him infected.
But he heard it. Did he come back too early? He re-heard it. Then the infection and how many surgeries again. And you're dealing with infection and you're dealing with everything else.
I think they put a railroad spike in the first time or
perhaps,
something. I don't know.
No question about that. So I don't know. I worry about it. Again, we've had this discussion so many times. Neither one of us are going to own him because I'm not drafting him early in the second round, irregardless of his health. But with this going on, look, he's untouchable to me. Now, certainly, I'm not telling you never draft Rob Gronkowski, but to me.
Well, yeah, because where you're going to have to get him, I know you'll never pick him that high up. So.
Well, let's talk about risk. I think there's a risk. There's probably less risk with him taking him there. And I think the numbers bear it out, and I know we've debated that with Jim Day on this show. You've debated it with him on his show on Twitter. We've had this fight a lot. I still think there's risk, though, taking a tight end in the first round early in the second round. Now you add the risk factor of his health, of this arm, of Aaron Hernandez being who he is and Bill Belichick being who he is. There's so much risk surrounding him as a risk-averse fantasy player as I am. Rob Gronkowski is a guy I'm just never going to touch. I will not own Rob Gronkowski in any of my fantasy leagues.
I'm with you there. Okay. You're talking first, second round. What about third or fourth? Do you go there?
fourth if I'm getting good reports, good health reports. But if I'm getting good health reports,
he's
not going to be there in the
right.
fourth. I think fourth is the first time I think about him. Because fourth, I'm looking, the way I tend to draft, it's very well possible I'm looking for my number one wide receiver in the fourth. And if I know he's going to be healthy, there's a good chance he's the best wide receiver on the board, which has always been the argument to take him that early. But if there isn't the health risk, he's not going to be there. So, again, full circle, he's just not going to end up on any of my teams.
Right. Fact or fiction, speaking of New England and a departed member, PPR, Wes Welker is a top 10 wide receiver.
In a PPR format, I can give you no better answer than in a PPR format. Until he shows me he's not going to catch 11 balls a game, every game. He didn't take a real big downgrade at quarterback. It's a different offense. There's two really good wide receivers there. But again, Peyton Manning's always been a fan of that possession guy like Welker is. I don't see how in a full-point PPR, I don't see how he, barring injury, how he isn't a top 10 performer.
Well, yeah, I certainly didn't take a downgrade. He does like the possession guys. However, he likes the explosive possession guys. And he gives you a lot more explosion than Brandon Stokely. Yeah, I mean, they're very similar roles right here.
And Peyton Manning made Brandon Stokely a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I mean, they could just turn into an instant team.
Yeah, I think they do. I really think they do. Now, you have better talent surrounding New England.
Much better.
Always sort of struggling, for as good as they are offensively, always struggling for that big number one wide receiver, say for the couple years Randy Moss was there. You got Decker. You got Thomas. There's going to be less balls to go around, but being a Peyton Manning guy, like Brandon Stokely's a perfect name to bring up. Peyton Manning bought Brandon Stokely his house, basically. He made his career the little, small, quick possession guy. Wes Welker's a much better version of that. How does he not get the ball 10 times a game? But I worry about, are they going to run the ball in Denver this year? Is Wes Welker going to be the running game?
The only thing, I guess, that concerns me, and Manning has proven that, you know, he dishes out plenty for everybody. You know, back into Harrison and Wayne, and then you throw in whoever else was in there.
There's always the third Stokely, I think, when you're talking to
Garcon, and then, you got Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. I mean, that was a great tandem last year, and they caught a lot of balls. Now some of that's going to have to be coming Welker's way. And is it enough to bring him to the top 10 status? That I'm not sure about, because, you know, you're still going to keep Demaryius Thomas happy.
Yeah. Oh, you have to.
You know.
Certainly have.
And Eric Decker catches a lot of balls, a lot of touchdowns. You know, this isn't like, Randy Moss in New England is a good example. He's the only guy to keep happy. Andre Johnson in Houston, the only show in town. Nobody cares. You know, Brady didn't really dish it out anywhere, you know, after Moss gone. You had Welker. They ain't paying attention to Brandon Lloyd, you know, anybody else.
Seven other guys named Stu they brought in. They were just there to run routes and clear out space for Gronkowski and Welker. You're right.
So, you know, there's going to be a lot of work to have to go around to three really good receivers. But, you know, I'm not disagreeing. I think Welker's going to have, you know, a good year.
I do think, though, Eric Decker might be the one who suffers from all of this. I really do. When I look at Thomas, in his home run ability, we know what Welker can do. Decker was the nice complimentary piece to Demaryius Thomas. Now you bring in a guy like Welker. I think Decker's value takes a pretty not steep, but a pretty good decline.
It's possible, but he could certainly turn into the James Jones of the outfit
possible.
As well.
Yeah, maybe he's the one catching all the touchdowns while the other two are getting all the attention. You know, and that's why the PPR format's important. I wonder how much attention Welker gets in the red zone in terms of touchdowns. I worry there were never huge numbers for him that way anyhow.
Right. But that's why I don't have him in the top 10 myself.
Right, I think a full-point PPR, I still think he's that 8, 9, 10, 11 catch-a-game guy he was in New England. Manning, very similar to Brady in that respect. that they'll find that possession guy. They'll run that little inside slant all day if you let them. You could see that being a substitute for the Denver running game in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and that's going to be something to look at, too, is the Denver running game, coming in. So you just have to monitor that, obviously.
Monitor. There's our brilliant advice, as always, monitor that situation.
Okay, so I think it's your turn.
All right, Rick, fact or fiction? A rookie running back cracks the top 10 of fantasy running backs in 2013. Not believing in any of them.
Now, I'm not saying I don't believe in them, but to make the top 10, I don't think so. Unless the police blotter keeps catching up with all,
that's
all
true.
The veterans.
That's true.
You know?
There's several that could be in prison by the time the season rolls around.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not as high on Lacy and that Green Bay system.
See, that's the one I love.
Oh, I know it is. I know that's what brought up that whole question. But, Giovanni, he's very interesting. I don't know. I just don't see a rookie running back cracking the top 10. I see Richardson really coming on. You got your Martin, Charles, Peterson, Foster. I mean, I can name them real quick. I just don't see him cracking the top 10 this year.
I think one does, Rick, and I do think it's Eddie Lacy. I love him in that Green Bay system. He's going to be the only game in town. Look, I grant you a pass-first offense, but coming out of those four wide receiver sets, running hog wild, I think a lot of touchdowns, a whole lot of touchdowns. Maybe finally sits John Kuhn down and you actually see a running back get those carries inside the goal line. I just think situationally I felt like he was the best back coming in. Look, I'm not a draft Nick Ed. You all know how I feel about the draft. But just the tangibles, what I watched in watching games, that guy looked like an NFL running back, went to the perfect situation, a good team, a great quarterback, the only game in town. He's not fighting for his job. He's not splitting carries. I think you're seeing right here the beginnings of, I don't want to mention the Adrian Petersons, but these guys that come in as rookies, put it all together. Got a kid that can catch the ball, could be valuable in that offense. I really think Eddie Lacy is that guy.
Okay, may I bring in some of the intelligent comments from the chat room, please?
Oh, they know a lot more about it than me, certainly.
Because, last week we got into the argument, or the week before, I can't remember, that I like Jonathan Franklin. You kept calling him Ben Franklin.
Yes.
And this, okay. I'll just read the chat room.
Okay.
I like Franklin better. Me too. Agreed. If Franklin takes over, Lacy will be on IR after 3 weeks. Okay, why
right.
do you argue with me?
Well,
the intelligent people
to be
are behind
fair,
me.
These are the Rick Briggs crew in the chat room.
They are your followers.
To the point, I don't know if you guys out there listening know, Rick has specifically forbade me from entering the chat room. I am not allowed. I don't see the chat room. He's got his little netbook over there. He's got it turned where I can't see the thing. I'm not allowed to have any interaction with him. So these are Rick Briggs peeps. So, of course, whatever. You brought up Ben Franklin last week. So now they're all on board. Rick Briggs likes Ben Franklin. Fleeger's an a-hole. And so here we go. So that's my response to that argument, Rick.
These are independent experts that know this stuff inside and out.
Perhaps.
It just so happens that my intelligent take is a little more intelligent than yours, but you don't like it.
So there's one of two things happening here. I'll put them in. here we go.
Yeah.
I can't see it. Don't point at it, Rick. I can't see it. I'm not allowed to see it.
Well, there it is right there. What's that say? I wasn't here last week. So there you have it, pal. Independent expert opinion.
All right. So one of two things is happening. They're either agreeing with everything you say just to piss me off. The least likely of the two scenarios, but one of the possible ones. Or you're bringing actual experts in here as opposed to yourself just vomiting their opinions back to me and then thumping your chest that you're so darn smart. It's one of those two things.
The thing is, I said it last week without any coaxing.
How do I know that? Now I'm starting to think you're riding the coattails of our chat room and then trying to declare yourself some sort of expert.
And no, I am not dangling a watch every week, and you are not in a trance. You are independent experts. You have an opinion.
Oh, Lord. The chat room, Rick. All right. I don't know where we're at.
Fact or fiction.
Okay, yeah. We only got 5 minutes left. This show has gone quick.
Yes, it has. Okay, here's one that's kind of... you kind of bash on him a little bit. Randall Cobb has 10 or more touchdowns. All right. No.
I'm going to be an expert like your chat peeps here, or I'm going to be the biggest doofus in the fantasy world. I'm not buying Randall Cobb whatsoever. I'm just not seeing it. He was the hot guy last year. And you brought up James Jones ends up putting up the best fantasy. I know Greg Jennings is gone. I could be dead wrong here. I just don't see it in Randall Cobb. What was the question? I guess, first of all, I don't even know what the question was. But to seeing this guy being drafted in the third, fourth round as a top 10-12 receiver.
The question was, fact or fiction?
Because I should let you finish.
Randall Cobb has 10 or more touchdowns this year.
No, not 10 more 10 touchdowns. No chance. None. No.
Oh, okay.
Zippy. Yeah. Well, not zippy touchdowns, but zippy chance he gets the 10 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, okay, who's going to get me? Aaron Rodgers isn't going to throw touchdowns?
Well, certainly.
Well, who's going to get them then?
James Jones, okay. Eddie Lacy, Ben Franklin might pick up a few. Who knows? What's the chat room say?
No Cobb love? You are dead to me. Dead.
Well, I was dead to him to begin with. I didn't even know I'm on the show. I'm just a guy chirping in the background to keep the show going while you type.
I don't know. I like Cobb. But,
okay. Let's move on.
I think it's going to be a pretty even split this year. I said a couple weeks ago that I don't think Jones is going to have that kind of year.
Well, no, he's not going to lead the NFL in touchdown receptions.
But the thing is, Rodgers is going to throw touchdowns. And if Jones isn't getting the league-leading amount, somebody's going to have to get a good share of this stuff. And to me, especially with Greg Jennings out of town, Cobb's the obvious choice.
All right. Fair enough. Whatever. I'll let it go, Rick. I want to get these ones in. We're going to run a little over tonight, Rick. I got a couple I want to get in.
We got to cut some out anyway.
Yeah, we got some stuff to edit out. Although I might leave it in. We'll just beep it out. I'm not certainly cutting the entire phone call. I'd actually take it as a compliment, Rick. I don't want to encourage this a-hole to call back. But that's our first prank call. That's pretty good. It means we've done something if we've inspired somebody to prank call us. So
yeah,
I thank you for that, a-hole. Anyhow, Rick, fact or fiction, you will pass up either Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees if they are still there at the end of the third round of your draft. This is sort of dovetailing on the conversation we had last week.
Okay, say that again. Well, what?
Fact or fiction,
all right.
You, Rick Briggs,
yeah,
friend of the chat room,
yeah,
will pass up Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees in the third round of your fantasy draft.
Oh.
What the hell is that?
I don't think I'd pass on Rodgers.
Okay.
I think I might on Brees, but I don't think I would on Rodgers.
There's just not a lot of separation between those two for me.
I don't know. Just one of them. It depends. It's iffy. I mean, I like Brees, but, I wrote in, in my last article, there are a lot more interceptions with Brees.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You're getting more yards, I think. But, Rodgers is certainly capable of throwing for a ton of yards. I don't think I would pass on Rodgers, but I might on Brees.
I'll tell you what, Rick, it's a big fact for me. And I can't wait for the article, Steve Gallo's article, to come out. But what little bit we discussed last week has really stuck in my head. But also, from a simpler point of view, looking at ADPs, look, I know these guys are going to start creeping up when we get to August. I grant you that. But if I'm drafting right now and I've got Rodgers and or Brees sitting at the end of the third, Tom Brady's going in the fifth. Peyton Manning's going in the seventh.
Right. You're absolutely right. Aaron Rodgers is always so...
He's tempting. That's why I asked the question. It's going to be hard to pass up, but
I
think all the evidence says you should.
You're right. If you can get Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan's a 7th, 8th round guy.
Tony Romo.
9th, 10th round guy.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I have to requalify my answer because, yeah, Rick Briggs definitely is going to pass on him.
All right, Rick. I have one more I want to get to you. So you have one to give to me, or do you want me to just throw it out and we'll get here at a reasonable hour?
Okay. I had a couple that I thought were interesting, but we'll just stick with one here. Fact or fiction? The NFC East is the best fantasy division in football.
Oh, the best fantasy division, the NFC East. I'm going to say no, a lot of talent there. I like Dez Bryant. I like Alfred Morris. I like RG3, assuming he comes back healthy, which is looking more and more likely. I like LeSean McCoy. But give me the South, Rick. Let's stay in the NFC. Give me the South. I got to name them in New Orleans. I got Breeze. I got Colston. I got Jimmy Graham. I got Matt Ryan. I've got Roddy White. I've got Julio Jones. I got Muscle Hamster down in Tampa Bay. I got Vincent Jackson down in Tampa Bay. For me, that's where the bulk of the talent is. And if you're watching the fantasy football on Sunday, if you got a New Orleans-Tampa Bay game or a New Orleans-Atlanta game, that's the game you're watching as a fantasy owner.
Okay. I'm certainly not going to say I disagree. I think there's some pretty good divisions there, and those are certainly two of them right there. There's no doubt about that. They're strong fantasy-wise, basically from top to bottom.
Yeah.
You even look at Carolina, who has been, with them in Tampa, haven't had good records, but certainly have a lot of fantasy
numbers. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cam Newton going into this year. Here's a guy I'll be happy to get. Where's he going to go? 8th, 9th, 10th round?
I got to assume he's going to be higher.
You think he's going to be higher?
He'll be higher than that, yes.
Maybe next after Tom Brady. That's where I have him, is that 5th, 6th area. He's moving around in there in my rankings, but I don't know that everyone else does. Maybe they do.
People fall in love with those legs and the potential, 12 rushing touchdowns and 700 yards.
Hey, so. He's your classic boomer bust guy. You saw what he did that rookie year. Followed it up with a stinker for periods of time last year. Just
he really
looked
came
incredible
on,
and then could disappear. But I think a lot of guys do that. So last one, Rick, and we'll get everybody out of here. Everybody probably took off at this point. But this is a debate I think we're going to have pretty much weekly between now and September 1st. Rick, similar question, at least the way I'll phrase it. Fact or fiction, you will pass up Darren McFadden in the 6th round of your draft this season?
I don't think I could.
It'd be hard.
I don't think I could.
But I'm on the fence. That's why I'm making you answer it.
I mean, that's a reasonable gamble right there. You take Darren McFadden, like they have been the last couple of years, first, second, even third round, that's way, way, way too early. 4th is too early for him. I don't trust him. Even in the 5th, 6th round, I'll take him, definitely.
Rick, I think I said at the end of last year and a couple of times since, and maybe even last week, I'm not touching Darren McFadden at all. So when I wrote down the question, I thought we were going to argue about it. I was going to say, you're an idiot. Why would you ever draft Darren McFadden? But as I asked the question, I'm thinking, wow, it's the 6th round. The way I draft, I've got my top 3 running backs. I've got probably 2 good wide receivers, and then I don't even know what I have with that 5th spot. And I got Darren McFadden sitting there.
That is a classic risk-reward move right there.
I think it is there, but I think it illustrates the point. All right, let's back it up. 5th round.
If I've got my running backs,
mm-hmm.
and if I've got even 2 good running backs, I'm going to have three running backs.
You're going to have three running backs
and a wide receiver.
Right.
And if he's there, probably I'm going to take him. And then I'm set. I concentrate on wide receiver and a quarterback in the 8th or something like that after that.
4th round.
No.
So that's where it is, 5th round.
Yeah.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was actually hoping we could debate that, but I agree totally. Depending how my team stacked up in the 5th round, 6th round, no question about it, because I know I've got my top 3 backs,
right.
3 backs I'm comfortable with.
And
when
2
I'm
wide receivers going to the 6th.
I got McFadden on my bench, and if he takes off, then I'm unstoppable the rest of the year, if he does what he's capable of doing.
Right.
Although I really wanted to sit here and make the argument I won't get burned again, but in that situation,
you're
getting burned in the 6th
round. You probably aren't. I mean, you're drafting
9th overall when I drafted him last year, I got burnt.
Oh, you got torched.
Yeah, but All right. Well, very good, Rick. So that ends another rounding. What a show, Rick. We talk about all over the place.
Yeah, we even had an obscene caller.
Obscene.
We had blotter fodder. You know, all
blotter
kinds of
fodder.
Things.
I like that. We have a name for it now. So I can't lie, Rick. I'm a little excited about our first prank call.
I really like your phone there. The little camo on it. There.
Yeah, you know,
classic. Turn it over and it's camouflage. It's really cool.
Take it hunting with me in case I need to chat.
Yeah.
So that's it, Rick. We will be back next week with God only knows what. It might be fact or fiction again if we can't think anything.
Oh, there'll be all kinds of
little,
things to talk. We might even have a guest. Who knows?
Little behind the curtain fact or fiction is what Rick and I do when we can't think anything.
Well, we ought to have, like, let's make a deal.
Ooh.
You know,
I don't know how that would work, but I want to play the theme song. So next week on the Tuesday Night Blitz, let's make a deal, Asylum Fantasy Football style. So, hey, hit us up. Send us some questions, even if they're about Tavon Austin's bathroom habits. Hit us up, asylumfootball@gmail.com. At Asylum Football on Twitter. I think we're on that Facebook thing, too, but I'm not really sure. We'll be back. Kellogg's Comments is actually going on now, so if you haven't gone there yet, check it out. Until next week with Let's Make a Deal. We'll see you.
Take care.
Up ACDC, Hank Skinner, George Strait. Where's the girls? I can call them up. A little Southern drawl, hey, trouble, what's up? It's going down tonight. And now they're pulling up, got the